to the Mission Dorothy podcast with your hostess, Tamikus Williams.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us here at Mission Dorothy, the podcast. Today, I would like for us to continue our Eight Dimensions of Wellness series, and today we are going to talk about spiritual wellness. Before we get into our topic of today, I just hope that you guys are doing really well. I hope that you are getting some good insight and takeaways when it comes to this series as we talk about the eight dimensions of wellness. Now, as we continue to discuss our last three dimensions, I want us to keep in mind on how we can utilize the eight dimensions of wellness as a tool to help us stay balanced. So if every, you know, some you guys work on quarters, so you can do this quarterly, you can do this twice a year, every 6 months, or you can do this once a year, and you can utilize the eight dimensions of wellness as a check-in tool just to see where you may be out of balance while also being able to see where you're doing a good job. So if you sit down at your chosen time frame and go through the eight dimensions of wellness, then you can kind of check in with yourself to see, hey, where am I emotionally? Where am I when it comes to my finances? Am I reaching my goals that I set for each one of these dimensions? And if not, then it will help you to figure out where you may be falling short and where you are exceeding. And so I want you guys to really keep the eight dimensions of wellness in mind moving forward, because it is a really great check-in tool that can help you stay balanced and help you to have a good quality of life when you are in the balanced area. Okay? So let us go ahead and dive in into spiritual wellness. Now, nowadays you have religious beliefs, you have spiritual beliefs, and then I'll say you have like a spiritual 2.0, which is more of the crystals and other ways of looking at life or having a different kind of higher being, right? So that would be for the individuals who may not believe in God, but may believe in a higher power, the universe, those types of things. I call that kind of spiritual 2.0. But today we're going to talk about spiritual in general, right? And the definition of spiritual is defined as expanding a sense of purpose and meaning in life, including one's morals and ethics. It may or may not involve religious activities. Now, for you all who are religious and you believe in God, you can, you know, also implement this in your walk, right? When we talk about, because today we're going to talk a lot about your values, and you may have biblical values that you try your best to walk by. You know, we have the Ten Commandments, and as a reader of the Bible, we know that God is constantly helping us to understand how to live righteous, right? So you can definitely take these goals of spiritual wellness and implement those in your walk with the Lord. For those of you who may be on the spiritual 2.0 side and you believe in a higher power, then, you know, or you believe in the universe, then you can take these same spiritual goals and implement them there as well. And so, again, I just want to go over the definition for spiritual wellness. again, is defined as expanding a sense of purpose and meaning in life, including one's morals and ethics. It may or may not involve religious activities. So, the first goal for spiritual wellness is explore your personal values. So let's take a look at values for a minute. Let's look at the definition of what values are. The definition for values are the beliefs and principles that you believe are important in the way that you live and work. They should determine your priorities and guide your decisions and the way you act towards others. When the things that you do and the way that you behave match your values, life is usually good and balanced. When we start behaving outside of our values, that is when life becomes unbalanced. So, beliefs and principles that you believe are important in the way that you live and work. So, examples of these would be like love, peace, truth, right conduct, being nonviolent. Those are five basic values, right? And so, I want you guys to take some time to take a look at your value system and figure out what are your values and what values are important to you. So let's do a little segue here. I want us to talk about the five human values. Those five human values are love, peace, truth, right conduct, and nonviolence. So let's go ahead and let's discuss peace. So when we think about our values, they are all interconnected and have diversified levels of meaning. First, I want to share that I'm pulling this information from valuestransform.org. So I just want to give them their props. Okay. Now, when talking about peace, one tends to think peace by recalling the lack of it, focusing on conflict and war, and on the hopes of humankind to realize unity among people and achieve peace at a worldwide level. Seldom does one realize that to seek peace in life and for the world is not a political issue, but an individual choice of self-development, right? You know, we all about self-development over here. It means living up to the value and securing a state of inner peace within oneself, right? Within oneself, because, you know, often we always say, oh, I just need a peace of mind, right? So when our minds are quiet, our emotions are in a state of balance. When there is no inner war going on and our desires are kept under control, a feeling of peace and contentment fills our heart. So when we don't have anything that is knocking us off balance, anything urgent, anything that is going against us, and we feel that our desires are somewhat met or at least kept at a controlled level, then we feel a level of peace in our hearts. These feelings respond with feelings of harmony, happiness, and profound gratitude. And I want to stress this part about gratitude, because it's so often that we always focus on the negative, and it's so important for us to start finding the what's going right, right? Because even when we think about what ifs, well, what if this, what if that, it's always negative. But what if it works out? What if everything is okay? What if the test results are great? What if you go into work and you get a raise tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? What if you get the job you just applied for? So we have to be mindful that when we think about peace and peace of mind, it is a mind that is not filled with racing thoughts, negative thinking styles, you know, that cultivate this what if in a negative way. Okay? So as we begin to reach towards a more intuitive region, we wake up to this intuition becoming capable of receiving and expressing peace. So when we have this feeling of harmony, happiness, and profound gratitude, we can start to feel as if we are capable of receiving as well as expressing peace. Often we want to receive peace, but we also have to give peace. So that means that we're not out here name calling, gossiping, you know, just talking down to people and not giving peace, cussing people out, hollering, yelling, all the things. You know what I'm saying? That is not giving peace or expressing peace, right? So not only do we want to receive peace, but we also want to give it. So they say here that when there is peace in the individual, and I want you to really think about this, like look at where the world is right now. When there is peace in the individual, there will be peace in the family. When there is peace in the family, there will be peace in the community. When there is peace in the community, there will be peace in the nation. When there is peace in the nation, there will be peace in the world. Oh my God, do we need that bad, right? So, peace. How are you cultivating peace in your life? Are you removing people, behaviors that goes against peace? Or are you grabbing on to people and behaviors that promotes peace in your life? Make sure you do a self-check of that, okay? Let's talk about the human value truth. Now, when we think about truth, truth is to abide by cultivating truthfulness, honesty, and sincerity with self-analysis and purity, accuracy and fairness, fearlessness and integrity. Let me say that again. To abide by truth means to cultivating truthfulness, honesty, sincerity, right? We want to be honest and sincere in our actions and our words, right? Self-analysis and purity. We want to be able to analyze ourselves, to think about the things that may not be as pure in our life, and especially when it comes to our religious beliefs. We want to make sure that we are trying to walk the best that we can. And it's a fine line when it comes to walking as best as we can, right? And then we want to be accurate and fair, along with fearlessness and integrity. What exactly is truth? Is it a description of a thing as one has seen it without exaggeration and understatement? No. Or the narration of an incident in the same words as one has heard it narrated? No. Truth elevates. It holds forth ideas It inspires the individuals in the society. It is the light that illuminates man's path to God. So being truthful is being authentic. It is narrating the story exactly how it was without exaggeration, right? We all know what it means or how it feels to be lied to. So if we know how it feels to be lied to, it's very important for us to make sure that we are being as truthful as possible. Because the thing about truth is, many forget that, and this is for believers, many forget that what we do in the dark, the Lord can see. Right? The lies we tell, the Lord can hear. So let's try our best to stop telling the lies, even the little small white ones, and let's walk in our truth. It feels good. It really does, because I try my best not to lie, like for real. I feel a heavy conviction if I'm lying. Even if I'm exaggerating the truth, it just does not sit well with me. So I try, you know, my life is, I try to live authentically. And not try, I do. And I am truthful. You know what I'm saying? And if I feel like a person can't handle the truth, then I don't have anything to say. You know what I'm saying? So let's just be, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to be perfect or acting like I'm perfect. No. But I've just made a conscious choice that I just choose to be truthful and just try, you know, tell the truth. Because, honey, that conviction does not feel good in no form or fashion. So that's what we have here when it comes to truth. Let's talk about love. Five human values, love. So love is the undercurrent of all other values. It manifests at various levels. In the form of the love of the mother and father for their children, affection between husband and wife, fondness for family members and friends, devotion to one's motherland, appreciation for nature, yearning for God. Though love is expressed through feelings, it is, in truth, energy. Have you ever thought about that? Like, love is energy. You can feel it. Right? When somebody loves you, you can feel that energy. They don't have to say not one word. It flows, joins, heals, and transforms. When it is pure, it is unchanging. Right? Now the opposite of that will be what? Conditional love. Right? But when it's at its pure form, it is unconditional love. This is when love corresponds to the highest truth and the purest goodness. So we see how those human values connect between love and truth, right? Where love is, selfishness is not, and joy is abundant. That's so good. Where love is, selfishness is not, and joy is abundant. Don't you want abundant joy? I know I do. Okay. Now, listen to this. When love is expressed in action, it becomes right action. When love is expressed in thought, it becomes truth. When love is expressed in feeling, it becomes peace. When love is expressed in understanding, it becomes nonviolent. So you see how each one of these five human values connect, and love is the undercurrent for truth, for peace, for nonviolence, right? So keep that in mind when you think about love. Love is energy. I love that one. That's good. I like that. All right. So let's talk about, we've discussed truth, love, and peace. So let's talk about nonviolence. So to nonviolence as a human value. Nonviolence instills a sense of morality, equality, and respect for the rights of all human beings. It fosters appreciation of all cultures and religions, as well as ecological concern and awareness. We really do have to get better when it comes to ecological concerns because, yeah, we've been rather violent to this earth. Trust and believe. I'm trying to find different ways to love the earth more. And so I am at a place where I'm trying to remove as much plastic use out of my life. And I'm trying to remove a lot of chemicals out of my life as well. But trying to reduce my plastic use, because that plastic is really causing some concerns because it doesn't disintegrate, you know. So think about that. How much plastic are you using in your home? Okay. It is an expression of universal love that promotes unity among people and a sense of being part of a whole. Another way to look at nonviolence is personal nonviolence. Personal nonviolence involves respect for one's personal well-being as well as that of others. Self-control over negative thoughts. Did you look at that? Personal nonviolence. Did you know those negative thoughts? They can be violent, right? So personal nonviolence, self-control over negative thoughts, and the importance of forbearance and pardon. So being able to forgive and let go as well. Social nonviolence encompasses a sympathetic regard for all life. It includes refraining from bad company. Let me say that again. It includes refraining from bad company, criticism, and inconsiderate speech. Universal nonviolence is kindled by a sense of kinship with all forms of life and the earth itself, and brings understanding of unity in diversity. When we think about today's humanity, it is definitely on a decline, right? When it comes to just balance. The world is so unbalanced, but this is the year of exposure, as we can see. And I think that God is going to expose a lot of people, a lot of things. And I feel that God is working to get this world back in balance. But I think that we all individually and collectively need to think about what part are we playing in this imbalance when it comes to our family, community, self, and here in this world. We definitely need to focus a little, you know, more on nonviolence, you know, especially with all of the police shootings and the attacks on LGBT community and, you know, this racism targeting. I mean, things are just really out of control. So I think the world can utilize a whole lot, you know, just more of these five values. I think the United States especially has lost sense of these five values. Seriously. All right. The last five human values is righteousness. So righteousness. When right conduct is associated with others, the value takes the form of good behavior, respect for others, helpfulness, capacity to cultivate good relationships, right? So we can kind of look at righteousness in that way. Right conduct is righteousness. So again, that it comes in the form of good behavior, respect for others, helpfulness, capacity to cultivate good relationships. It later broadens into ethical skills and morality, developing attributes such as courage, ecology, sensitization, ecological sensitization, determination, intuitive sense of duty. And finally, the highest level of right conduct results when we act in accordance with our conscience and carry out thoughts and intentions that are rooted in love. If the child is reared in accordance with the educare philosophy, to seek the guidance of conscience and to establish an inner dialogue. Let me see, they lost me there. If the child is reared in accordance with the, I would have to look up what educare is. To seek the guidance of conscience and to establish an inner dialogue. Hopefully that inner dialogue will be positive, because there are too many people walking around with negative inner dialogues. I think we all have some negative self-defeating thoughts that we need to challenge. All right. So those are the five human values: truth, love, peace, nonviolence, and righteousness or right conduct. So let's go back to our spiritual wellness of the eight dimensions of wellness. And let's go review our goals. So the first goal was to explore your personal values. So this is why I utilize the five human values, because I wanted to give you some great examples of values that we all should have, right? At least those five, but there are so many more. So explore your personal values. Sit down and think about the values that your parents or your guardian have instilled in you, and ask yourself, do you still walk by those values today? Also, think about other values that you can implement into your life that can possibly bring a more positive sense of self and a higher quality of life for you as well. Okay. The next goal is question and clarify your values. So that kind of piggybacks off of what I just said. Like, really sit and think about, be clear about your values. Be clear about what you stand on, what you believe in, because it's going to guide your conduct and the way that you show up in this world. Right? When you are clear about your values, your morals, your principles, it helps you to feel confident within yourself. It helps you to live more authentically, and it helps you to be comfortable with how you show up in the world and in places, you know, in different places and spaces. Okay. So I want you guys to question and clarify your values. Do you have any values that you may need to get rid of? You know, there are such things as negative values. So do some exploration, be clear and concise about the values that you stand on, the values that you are teaching your children. And remember, kids are do as I see, not as I say. Okay. So be mindful of that. The next goal is number three. So we have number one, explore your personal values. Number two, question and clarify your values. Number three, become aware of how values develop and change from life experiences. So a good example of that is that when we lose someone, right? When we lose a loved one and it's traumatic or it's unexpected, or just in general, when we lose someone that is close to us, often we will, our belief system will be challenged, right? If you are a believer, this could be one of those times when you are questioning God, you're questioning, you know, your faith, because you can't understand why God took your loved one away or how God took your loved one away. So become aware of how values develop and change from life experiences, because our life experiences can change things on a mass scale, right? If you were attacked by somebody of a different race, did that attack make you not like the entire race? You know what I'm saying? Did that attack create a negative value in you that, you know, created a negative value attached to a certain race because of a negative experience with that race, right? Sometimes you have individuals who may have had negative experiences with the opposite sex, and this could have cultivated a spirit of, no longer wanting to be attracted or to the opposite sex, and someone may end up in a same-sex relationship or same-sex lifestyle. So, yes, that does happen. Everybody who is gay may not have been, you know, was not born that way. Some people have become gay just through life experiences, right? There are some out there. I'm not saying everybody, but there are some out there. Okay. So just a few examples. So become aware of how values develop and change based on life experiences. Okay. Number four, become aware of differences in others' values. So become aware of differences in others' values. So you may have a different value than someone else, right? You may believe in God. Another person may believe in the universe. So just because you guys have two different value systems does not mean that you should be enemies or you should go against each other. We all have to respect each other's belief system, but, you know, we have to draw the line when you are forcing your belief system on somebody else, right? Now, you can introduce your belief system to someone else. If I wanted to introduce Christianity to someone of another faith, that is something I can do. That is something that, God would want us to do, but we can't force it on other people, right? You can have a civilized conversation with someone related to religion, and it doesn't have to be, well, mine is better than yours, or you shouldn't believe in that. You should believe in what I believe. At the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely don't mind sharing the love of Christ and to anybody who wants to hear it. But I'm not going to force it on anyone. Right. So become aware of differences in others' values. And then also that's important because it will help you to understand how you should go about treating this person. Right. Because what you may deem is proper and correct, it may go against their value system. You know what I'm saying? So let's make sure that we're mindful there. Number five is search for meaning in your own life. Now, you have a lot of people who are searching for purpose, right? And y'all know my spiel about purpose. I do believe that is something that you have to be open to. And when you're open and, you know, purpose comes to you, you just have to be mindful in order to be able to see, pay attention, and, you know, pay attention to the cues, but also pay attention to, you know, God's direction and his voice. You know what I'm saying? And so when we talk about search for meaning in your life, like, it goes back to this dimension, which is spiritual wellness. And, you know, what are your values? What are your morals? What are your principles? Right? And often when you have those, that's definitely connected to your meaning in life. I hope you understand what I'm saying, right? So search for meaning in your own life. That is very important, so that we can have more clarity about who we are and how we are choosing to move in this opportunity of life. Because life is an opportunity, you know, and this is not an opportunity you're going to repeatedly get over and over and over, you know, but I'm trying to have eternal life. Okay. All right. So search for meaning in your own life. What does life mean to you? What does your life mean to you? Right. How do you want to cultivate your life? What will your life consist of? So defining your life, right? Being clear about your life and how you move within your life, okay? All right, so that was search for meaning in your own life. The next goal for spiritual wellness, I'm flying through these, is develop integrity by acting in ways that are consistent with your values. So basically, this goes back to the six pillars of self-esteem when we talk about personal integrity. And it's basically walking your talk, right? So like it says, develop integrity by acting in ways that are consistent with your values. So people should be able to see your values, your morals, and your principles live in you. Excuse me, in their interaction with you. So make sure that you are being truthful and you are having integrity around your morals and your values and your principles, right? Personal integrity is key because we're holding ourselves responsible for what we say we're going to do, right? So making sure that you develop that integrity around your values is very important. All right, y'all. And so our last spiritual wellness goal is to explore the issues related to morality and your own life and death. Explore the issues related to morality and your own life and death, right? So when we think about morality means principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong or good and bad behavior, right? So the goal is saying explore the issues related to morality, that good and that bad behavior, right? Right and wrong. What is the difference there? I'm sorry, not what is the difference. What are the issues there when we talk about morality, right, wrong, good, bad, right? And explore your own life and death. So think about how you feel about death. Think about, do you carry a great deal of fear around death? Do you carry a great deal of fear around life? Especially if you suffer from anxiety, that you got some work to do in that area when it comes to life. Right? So really thinking about the good and the bad of life, the good and the bad of death. What is your views when it comes to death? Are you horrified of death? Are you able to accept death? If you lose someone that's close to you, are you able to accept the fact that they are going to die? That they have died. You know what I'm saying? I really struggled with death because I had my twin when we were, born. We were born preemies, but my twin only lived for 4 days. So therefore, I didn't get to cultivate a relationship with her, right? And I always, my whole life, I've lived feeling like I've lost an arm, because my twin was not here. So I've always carried that sense of something's missing and it's her, right? It's Amicus. It's her. It's a void, it's a hole that nobody can fill. It's an absence that I feel every day. And it's a loss that I still feel to this day. You know what I'm saying? But when I lost my oldest sister, that loss was different because I had her the majority of my life. You know what I'm saying? And when she died, that was the second person in my nucleus family that passed. But that was the first death that I experienced of someone that was close to me. You know what I'm saying? That I grew up with, that I grew to love, that I had this family bond with, right? And I was I was horrified. I just I would go to funerals of people, classmates, family, friends, but I just had this fear around death, and I still have it somewhat, but now since I've lost my two sisters and my mom, I see death differently. And going through COVID, my clients lost a lot of family members. And so there was a lot of discussion about death in sessions. And so I find that my view of death is better. It's not as fearful. I do understand that it's something that none of us will be able to escape. I do believe that I can deal with it. I'm dealing with it better, but each death that you experience is totally different. No death is the same, because your relationship with the person that passed is different than any other relationship you may have. You know what I'm saying? So I think, when we talk about exploring death, you sit with yourself and really think about, how do you feel about it? And how can you get to a place of acceptance? Because if we can accept death, it makes it a little bit easier to grieve. But when we can't accept death, it makes it very hard to grieve. And then we're dealing with, are my values changing because of a life experience, right? So I want you guys to really sit down and really think about this dimension of wellness. Spiritual wellness is key because it involves the beginning and the end of life and all of that in between, right? So if we have good personal values, it can carry us far in life, but it can also make life a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more tolerable, and more beautiful. You know, when you don't have morals, values, and principles, or you're not really in tune with yours, it can create a lot of discord in your life. So I want you to really sit and think about that, because this is at the foundation of who you are. And it guides the way we move about this life. So really sit down and think about these goals. I'm going to review them one more time for you. Goal one for spiritual wellness is explore your personal values. Goal two, question and clarify your values. Goal three, become aware of how values develop and change from your life experiences. Goal four, become aware of the differences in others' values. Goal five, search for meaning in your own life. Goal six, develop integrity by acting in ways that are consistent with your values. And goal seven, explore the issues related to mortality, and your own life and death. And so as I recognize that I gave you guys the definition for morality when it should have been mortality. So it should have been mortality. And so when we think about mortality, mortality is the state of being subject to death. Okay, so please excuse me there with my mistake. I was saying morality when it should have been mortality. So for goal seven, we're talking about explore the issues related to mortality and your own life and death. Okay. And so when we think about that, mortality is really just another word for death. Okay. So take some time, get out some pen and paper, go through these spiritual goals and really assess, because I think that when you come out on the other end and you've already done your assessment of looking at your morals, right? Your ethics, your values. You should be a little bit more clear about who you are and what you stand for. And then once you do that, I want you to take a look at your list and see how do you implement that with your religious or spiritual belief. And that'll give you even more insight. Okay? So I hope this series is really beneficial for you guys, because I'm telling you, the power, SAMHSA, y'all did a good job with this, because if you don't know what SAMHSA is, it is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and this is a model that they came up with related to substance abuse users, but I like to use it, you know, in my own little way here. Okay? I like to use it as a tool related to balance, life balance, and I think it's a good way to break life down in these eight dimensions and assess where do I stand in each dimension. All right, you guys, that's it. That's all for today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you pull from those five human values as well, and see how are you incorporating those values in your life, right? Which, you know, again, is truth, love, peace, nonviolence, and righteousness or right conduct. Okay. So, I want you guys to have a fantastic, fantastic day, evening, depending on what time you're listening to this episode. Please, 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 if you are enjoying this content, please leave me some positive reviews on Apple. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. I really would like to get this podcast out because there are so many people who cannot afford therapy. Deductibles are super high. Some people just don't have health coverage. And I just want to be able to provide information that people can use to better their life, right? This is not therapy per se. This is more psychoeducation here on this podcast. So please know that this podcast is not a substitution for therapy, but it's more of a psychoeducation podcast that gives you real tools you can use for real life situations and to help create a level of mental and emotional balance in your life. You know, so we can live, you know, the highest quality of life possible. And if our mental, emotional self is imbalanced, then that will definitely affect our quality of life. Okay? So please leave me some comments, some positive comments at on Apple. Also, can you please share these episodes with someone you think can benefit from it as well? I want to thank my clients. If you are listening, thank you so much. I create this podcast for you all too, so it can be an extension of me outside of therapy. You know, so I hope that you guys are listening as well. But until next time, you guys, I love you all. Take care of yourselves, mind, body, spirit. And I'll see you guys in the next episode where we will be covering our next dimension, which will be, what is our next one, y'all? Hold on, give me a minute. Let me find it here. Ooh. Vocational wellness. So we have vocational wellness and then we have financial wellness left. So we only have two more episodes of our 8 Dimension of Wellness series, and then we will be done with the 8 Dimensions of Wellness. So next episode will be on vocational wellness. All right, you guys, until next time, take care, and I'll see you in the next episode. Peace and blessings.